Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Nun, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah towards the top of the daf. So remember that we are continuing with the concept, really, it boils down to, I guess, we could say, I'm going to just hide this on here, Mimtzoch Chevtzecha, because basically, what has happened is that we've got a lot of inyanim on Shabbos that seem to make it difficult to do things on Shabbos on the one hand. And on the other hand, the things that we are able to do still have to be done within the context of the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that describes, I guess, what you could call the spirit of Shabbos. So over there it says, Im tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha asot chafatzecha b'yom kodshi v'karata l'Shabbat oneg L'kdosh Hashem echubad, v'chibato me'asot derachecha. Don't do things the way you normally would. Mimitzoch hefzecha. And from searching out to do the things that are just your personal business. V'daber davar. And speak just things that are your things. Okay, so we've been talking about what we call dispensations, where Chazal made it possible to be Isaac and Inyanim on Shabbos that seem to be problematic, and yet they're part of what we need to do for our lives. And one of those things that we get to today, we've been talking about speaking. What about just saying something? So some of the things that we spoke about were because of specific gezeiros. So there we made problems for people who may come to, let's say, write, right? That was the issues that we've been talking about in terms of various cheshbonas. But then there's just talking. And that would be, for instance, as our Mishnah says, Lo yizkor adam po'alim b'Shabbat. So don't make any deals on Shabbos where you're hiring a guy. That would be mitzoch hefzecha. V'lo yomar adam l'chaveiro lizkor lo po'alim. Nor should you tell a friend that he should go and get you po'alim. Now, that doesn't seem to, obviously not. I mean, if you can't do it, why wouldn't you be able to tell somebody else to do it? I mean, if it's osur, it's osur for everybody, right? Okay, we'll talk about that. Einam achshichim alatchum lizkor lo po'alim. And not only that, but let's say to do something on Shabbos, which is in order to enable you to do something b'chol. So in other words, you need to be close to a particular place. So right now you're far away from there. So you walk there on Shabbos all the way up to the edge of the tchum, so that as soon as Shabbos is over, you're going to be able to quickly get to the movies. Okay, I mean, you don't want to miss the last showing, you know. So you walk up to the edge of the tchum, and it says in Mefarshim, the movie theaters used to be Michutz L'tchum. I wonder why. so you'd be allowed, you would think, to be able to go up to the tchum. But it says over here, if what it is that you're doing, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, then you cannot be machshich, you can't sit there waiting on the tchum to do that thing. So let's say to be able to get the po'alim that you need to be able to get to right outside of the tchum, you can't wait there on Shabbos to get there earlier, and you cannot go to be able to pick things out of your field there to be able to bring them back home. However, if what it is that you're doing, you would be allowed to do on Shabbos, and you're just getting closer there to be able to do it faster after Shabbos, but it's not that the thing itself would be usher to do on Shabbos, that's okay. Then you can be machshich, let's say, to be able to get right after Shabbos to make sure that nobody breaks into your house that's right outside of the tchum, or to look at your sada and to make sure that nobody's going to come in there to steal. You'd be allowed to do that on Shabbos also. So because of that, you can get closer to that place on Shabbos. And once you're there, you would already, since that wasn't your machshava, it's not that once you get there and you see, oh, wow, I'd like to bring this back home, which you wouldn't be able to do on Shabbos. You wouldn't be able to pick things, let's say, from your field. But since that wasn't your initial kavana, if you see stuff that's there, then you'd be allowed to bring it home too. Klal Amar Abba Shaul. Now, this klal is very unclear, and the Gemara is going to wonder what in the world Abba Shaul was referring to. Kol Shani Zakai Ba Mirato, anything that I'm allowed to talk about on Shabbos, I'm allowed to be machshich on it. Now, I mean, it isn't clear at all that we have a makor for zakai b'amirato, that we should be able to make that the makor of the halacha of hachshacha. So this is what I was going to discuss. Shasta Kumar, well, I mean, I don't understand why we need to say this. Did you ever remember anywhere else where we said, you can't do this on Shabbos, you can't ask somebody else to do it for you? Obviously, if you can't do it, how could you ask somebody else to do it for you? Mashno chavero. Omer of Papa, no, chavero means your goyish friend, not your Jewish friend. Says, what's the chiddush? What, Amira la'akum is the chiddush? I mean, didn't Rebbe say Amira la'akum beferish? Matke Floravashi, Amira la'nochri is a shvus. Rebbe already defined Amira la'akum as a shvus because of the Mishnah, remember, about the firemen. That's where we started getting into that whole thing. The firemen come. You don't have to tell them not to put out the fire. Okay, but that means that Amira directly is us, right? So that can't be the chiddush of this Mishnah, that we should need to mention that. That is not the point. Go back to what we said before. The Kiddush is that the Mishnah seems to be repeating something that is ridiculous, right? Oh, so when that happens, what you need to do is view the implications of it. So in other words, since the Mishnah repeats something that doesn't seem to be necessary, so then what we need to read it as is a implication that you're not allowed to tell your friend to go ahead and to get a deal with somebody to work for you, but you could hint at it. So in other words, lo yomar lechaver, don't tell him straight out, zechor li poalim. But you could do something not straight out. So let's say, omer adam lechavero, you want to hire somebody for job after Shabbos, so you're allowed to tell him, well, does it seem reasonable that you would be interested in meeting up tonight? Is one way of understanding it. Okay, let's see whether you're going to show up tonight. I mean, nobody mentioned that's Rashi's chat. But the point is, it's a hint that, you know, you could be showing up for a job tonight. But I never said anything about a job. I mean, you have to figure that out yourself, right? So even though it's clear that that's what you are telling him, the tremendous chiddush of the Mishnah is that that is not considered to be a violation of Mimtzor Cheftzecha V'daber Davar. And this is the first time that we're about to understand what the relationship is between Mimtzor Cheftzecha and Daber Davar. Because why, in fact, is that mutter? Because the Mishnah is going al libe Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The Tanya. By the way, this is one of the places where Tosfos gets into the famous question of whether Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. And he's called Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. We know Rabbi Akiva had a son, Rabbi Yeshua. That's mentioned elsewhere. And we know that Ben Azai used to call Rabbi Akiva Baldy, because he used to say, you know, all of the Chachomim in Klal Yisrael, they're like, compared to me, they're klipot hashum, except for this Baldy guy. He's amazing. So because of that, they would call Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Tosfos says that just because Ben Azai's got a great sense of humor and he's playing around, I mean, he was kidding. You know, we're going to be Koveya, the name of Rabbi Akiva as Baldy, is insane. I mean, we see that when the kids wanted to make fun of Elisha, they called him Baldy. You know, so that was Alei Kereach, Alei Kereach. It doesn't make sense that we would be Koveya, the name of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. It's maddening. Then he goes into the historical data to show that based on Maisim in the Gemara, it really doesn't make sense that he would be because of the interaction later with Rebbe, it doesn't make sense that he would be the son of Rebbe Akiva. It would make him too old. I mean, he'd have to live over 140 years. Okay, in any event, it was just a cute side issue. So who would it be going to? According to, it would be going according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The Tanya, lo yomar adam lechavero hanir esh tamori mila eret. So the Tanya Kama says, you cannot say to somebody, all right, let's see whether you're going to show up tonight. Or as I said, as Tosfos says, is it something that you would consider to show up tonight? Which is more of a direct question. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, no, that's okay. Omer adam lechavero hanir esh tamori mila eret. And Omar Rabba Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan, we actually pass him like that. Halacha Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. What is the reasoning? So Omar Rabba Barbachana Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, dichtiv, the point over here is the understanding of the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Because what is the relationship indeed between Me'asot Rachecha, Mimtzochef Tzecha V'daber Davar? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha holds that the meaning of the relationship of Daber Davar here is to tell me that only dibur is asur. Hirhur is mutar. So that if what you're doing is implying things, then for all intents and purposes, you never said it, right? I mean, and we actually use that. Said, I never said that. What do you mean you never said that, but you implied it? Okay, but saying and implying are two different things. So essentially, we view implying as being an internal mental process. Because what's happening is that you are communicating, so to speak, mentally. So something has to go on in the other person's head that is going to be a processing of what you did say, but it is not what you did say, right? So that's a tremendous, Nachi, please mute yourself. So that's a tremendous insight into the relationship between the thought processes and the actual speaking. Since the Torah stressed, mimetzorcha v'tzecha, and taber davar, it must be telling you that we're only answering mitzias cheftzecha if it's through daber davar. In other words, if it's only implication, which is a mental process, then Nach, you have to turn off that other device because there's no way I can't mute it and you can't mute it. It's making tremendous noise. So the
I turned it off. It's just in delay.
Oh,
I turned it off.
Okay. So because of that, the Torah is bedavka coming to say in Yeshayahu that you do not have a problem of implying things. Oh, wait a minute. But wait, what that would mean is a fascinating din in general. It would mean that thinking about something is not the equivalent of speaking in general. Now, that's nogea an awful lot of dinim. That's nogea dinim of brachas and things like that. So that would imply that what we just paskened is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the halacha is that only dibur is asur and hirhur is mutter. What that would imply that he holds all over hirhur lavke dibur dami, right? So alma hirhur lavke dibur dami. But the problem is that Rabbi Yochanan is quoted elsewhere saying the opposite. V'yom Rabba Barbachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'chol makom mutar laharher. You are allowed to be thinking in divrei Torah wherever you walk, but not in a Beit HaMerchatz or in a Beit HaKisei. Now, if you're telling me that internal mental processes are not viewed as something that has broken into the outside, so it isn't the same as saying something, why exactly would it be usher to be thinking about Divrei Torah? Where do we find that thinking itself is a problem? No, what do you mean? That's a completely different issue over there. What's the basis of not being allowed to, what you're calling, speak Divrei Torah? The basis of it is the pasuk of Hayam Machanecha Kadosh, right? So Ki Hashem Elokecha Mitalech Bekerav Machanecha, and therefore Hayam Machanecha Kadosh. So that would imply that your entire situation, your machana has to be kadosh. Why does the machana have to be kadosh? I mean, if you're going to be doing something that's inappropriate, then walk out and do it. You need to go to the bathroom. That's the din. You walk out the 12 kilometers, you go to the bathroom at the time of the Bnei Yisrael in the machana and so on. So what it must be saying is, vayah machanecha kadosh means that since Bnei Yisrael are always in a position of being involved in inyanim of Torah. So they're always thinking about Divrei Torah. So apparently, v'hoya machanecha kadosh is something that limits you to being able to think only where you are in a place that is suitable for Kedusha. What does that have to do with the halacha over here, which was based on dibur, because it said beferish v'daber davar? So you're comparing two completely different things. How does that show that Rabbi Yochanan holds that here or is kedibur? I don't get it. No, you don't get it because you didn't read the end of the pasuk. What does it say? V'hayah machanecha kadosh. Then it goes on to say, v'lo yirebecha ervat davar. Why do you think it says ervat davar? Ervat davar means something that actually is expressed in reality outside, in which case, if we're talking about dibur versus hirur, it would need to be something that is in the world. So that would mean that there too, it ought, if you're telling me hirur is not kedibur, then ervat davar is not an ervat davar unless it's midubar. Then the same thing would be true over here. So how do you explain that? You should say exactly the same thing over there. So hachanami ksiv lo yerabcha ervat davar. answers the Gemara, Lo Yerebecha Ervad Davar, is not talking about standard Dibur in the Machana. That is to say, that hero would be Kedibur. That's coming to tell me a special halacha. The truth is, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh is a general statement. And it means you cannot be even thinking in Divrei Torah if it's a makom that isn't ro'i to be Machanecha Kadosh. The addition of Ervat Davar is talking about while it is that you are engaged in Dibur, not in Hirur, in Dibur, Erva has no place in Dibur. So in other words, let's say that you're reading Kriyat Shema, so you're not allowed to be in front of Erva. That's the point. So this comes to teach me that Ervat Davar is to tell me, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Om Rabbi Yehuda, if there is a naked non-Jew, you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in front of that nakedness. What do you mean a non-Jew? You're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in front of any nakedness. My Arei Akum, Afilu Yisrael Nami. No, we're telling you a Chiddush. The Chiddush is even in front of a non-Jew. Because you might have think, Lomi Boy Kama, Lomi Boy Yisrael to us. I understand that Yisrael has been determined to be the Adam, right? So that's the Adam Atem. So human Erva is called Erva. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sitting in front of a donkey who, that usually does not have clothes on and saying Kriyat Shema, right? So if that's the case, you might think that an Akum has the same din. Why? Because since it says in the Pasuk, Asher Bisar Chamorim Bisaram V'Zirmat Susim Zirmatam, so making fun of the low-class sexual proclivities of the Goyim. So there it says, the idea of the Vateagvar al Pilak Shehem, it says, Asher Psar Chamorim Bisaram, so we're making fun of them, or guy's going to go to a prostitute that's basically a donkey? So it's saying over there that maybe you would think that this means that Bechlau, we don't even view that as being human erva, and therefore it should be mutter to read Kriyat Shema. That's the Chiddush. So Kamash Malan, that since they are like Chamorim, Kamash Malan, that not. What do you mean Kamash Malan, that not? So maybe that's true. No, but, I mean, that's a good point. The Pasuk does say that your entire Yachas to the bodies of an Akum is Bisar Chamorim. So why would we think, indeed, to Paskin, that this is considered to be Erva? You should be trained not even to see that as something that is related to you as a human being. No, that's because Omar Krove Ervat Avihem Lora'u. It's because of the fact that the Torah specifically refers to the idea of a naked Akum. Who is a naked Akum? Noach. Because there was not yet that Bechir of Yisrael. So everyone was a Ben Noach. And yet the Torah refers to the nakedness of their father with the whole story of Noah getting drunk and so on. It says, and over there it says they did not look at their father's nakedness. Obviously the Torah is calling this nakedness. Okay, getting back to our sugya. So now we're saying that Dibur is usur according to this. If you're telling me Dibur is usur, how is it that we're moderate under certain cases? I mean, if Daber Davar is what we're looking at, then why do you think that we went along with the following Piskei Halachas? Rav Chista and Rav Avnuna both say, Cheshbonot Shom Mitzvah, Mutar L'Choshvan B'Shabbat. You're allowed to make all kinds of financial descriptions of things and make even a Cheshbon, okay, we're going to need to get this and this much together in order to build a new Beit HaKnesset and so on and so forth. That you're allowed to do. V'yom Reb Elazar Poskim Tzedakah L'Aniyim B'Shabbat. You're allowed to actually say, we're going to be giving tzedakah to this ani. This would be nogea, by the way, the shaila of whether you can in shul, when they give you a misha berach, whether you're allowed to be posek a particular amount for that, or you just say to give a matana. So many, in fact, are marked, but not to say, as we'll see later on, the sheet that holds, we don't talk about, good point, we don't talk about being posek tzedakah. Okay, so Because of what you said, all of this should still be usher. How can we matter something that the Pusik says is usher just because we like it, you know? And the Rebbe Lazar says Pusket Tzedak. And Rebbe Yaakov Bar Idi quotes Rebbe Yochanan as saying that you're allowed to do any kind of pikuach on pikuach nefesh. The word pikuach means looking over, right? So pikuach nefesh, as opposed to what people think, because they got used to thinking pikuach nefesh means this is something that is dangerous. That's not what it means. Pikuach nefesh means you're looking into issues that may have to do with the loss of life. And anything that has to do with that, there's not too much to think about because you go ahead and you're Mechal Shabbos for it. But the point is you can be mefakrin anything that has to do with pikuach nefesh or pikuach rabim on Shabbos. And you can go even to meetings, you know, you're even allowed to go to shul. That's for Jeffrey. You'd even be allowed to go into a shul if it would be lefakeach aliske rabim b'shabbos. And Omer Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Reb Yochanan, forget about going to shul. You can go to these the theaters. You can go to circuses. You can go to the basilicas of the Romans. I mean, if this is what you got to do to deal with government issues, on the fakeach aliske rabim, you do that on Shabbos. And Tana Devei Menashe, you can be meshadech tinokot to be ma'aris on Shabbos, v'ala tinok l'lamdo sefer, v'la lamdo umanus. Does this sound familiar? Yes, it does, because of the zemira on Shabbat, right? V'tinok l'lamdo sefer. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up is because there's a big kasha on that song that we're about to get to, right? That's not just Thomas' song, that's the Eben Ezra. And the Eben Ezra is a very sneaky guy. So he's got a sneaky remez to a halacha that goes through all the Gemaras. Yeah, it sounds very nice. L'shadech tinokot, that's right. V'tinok l'lamdo sefer, beautiful. But wait till we get to the next piece. Okay, so how do you explain the fact that this is mutter if it's a pasuk? Because you're not understanding the chibur of the two inyanim. That's the whole point. Mimitzocha fatzecha, remember. So that idea of the daber davar comes together with cheftzecha. It goes in both directions. Cheftzecha is only aser bedaber dibor and not beyurur. But also the opposite is true. Daber davar is only aser when it's cheftzecha, when it's the things that are your personal business. But when you are dealing with things that have to do with the rabbim and that have to do with tzorchei mitzvah, then all of those things are mutter from the pasuk itself. So these are not things that are going against the daber davar that we need to be matir. They're part of the way that daber davar is presented initially. That's the point. And so any of these things to teach a tinok, it doesn't matter whether you're teaching him, you're making the deal with a guy to teach the tinok to be a car mechanic, or you're teaching the tinok to be able to learn Torah, because both of those are mitzvahs. So chafatzecha arasurin, this we learned out in the Gemara in Kedushin, you are mechuyev to get a trade or a profession for your child. And chafetz shamayim, therefore, are mutarim. Now here comes the tricky part of the Eben Ezra. Amr of Yeshua, Amr of Yudah Mashmu, Cheshbonot Shel. Now, Shel what? The question is, how do we read this? Cheshbonot Shel Melech, or do we read this as Cheshbonot Shel Malach? There doesn't seem to be much of a difference. And yet, the Eben Ezra writes in this song, Af, what does he write? I see Gavi's hiding out over there. Af divrei milachim, right? Cheshbonot. So cheshbonot that are asurim, af cheshbon milachim, af divrei milachim. What in the world does that mean? Because over here, note that the Gemara is saying, if the girsa is melech, then cheshbonot shel melech are dafka mutarim. If the girsa is malach, so then it's different, perhaps. And yet, what is the meaning of a cheshbon shel melech or a cheshbon shel malach? Where many of the Rishonim bring that it means basically the same idea. Things that are entirely theoretical is what it means. In other words, to be discussing, you know how much the government spent on this highway? Those are cheshbon shel melech. Or to talk about, well, they're planning on raising taxes, and they're going to be going from this percent to that percent on corporations. So you're not a corporation. It's not Nogea, you personally. So whatever it is that is government business, really, even though nowadays everybody believes that everything that they say is going to define public policy and so on and so forth, it used to be that people understood that it's none of their darn business and nobody's going to pay the slightest attention to them anyway. And therefore, discussing these things was entirely theoretical. So having theoretical discussions is the same thing as saying, Dvorim Shel Malach, who the heck cares, right? So that's, it's none of your business. And that would include things, let's say, Dvorim Shel Malach would be, gee, how much did I spend on the wedding for that kid? How much was it? Now, this was 10 years ago, you understand? So really, Malach, I mean, it's just like memories, whatever, but it's not going to be koveya any actual events. So that would be okay. So if that would be the case, so Shel Malach or Shel Ma Bekak. So Malach, Rashi says, Ma, what do you care? What's your business? These cheshbonot. So Ma Bekak. And what difference would this make to anyone? That would be, you know, gee, it's a curious kind of thing. You know what houses are running for today in Passaic, New Jersey? No, but Ma Bekak. Who cares, right? Sorry if there's anyone listening in from Passaic. I should have used
that. The tea in China is now very important.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's exactly the price of tea in China, right? Like they say, who cares? That's Mabekach. Yeah, of course, nowadays that would be a joke. But that is Mutar L'Chash from B'Shabbos. So again, the question is, so what is the Eben Ezra thinking over there when he says, Af Divrei Melachim? Okay, so let you think about it over Shabbos when you sing the song. Anyway, so those things is Mutar L'Chash for B'Shabbos, and Tanya Amihochi, Cheshbonot She'avru, V'Sha'atidim Li'yot. So things that are things that have already taken place before. So those kind of things that are Cheshbonot, things that have happened or that will happen. Now, this seems to be a steer to what we just said, right? But let's say I made a wedding and I paid X amount of money for the wedding, or I'm going to be making the wedding. Okay, we're going to discuss why this is not a contradiction. So that is Osir L'Chashvan. But again, Shel Melech or Shel Malach, as Rashi suggests, or Shel Ma Bekach, who cares? It was already done. Is Mutar L'Chashvan. So first of all, before we ask the direct problem that seems to be in the actual statement itself, we ask a stira from outside. Asks the Gemara, but we asked on this with this brisa, with this, the one that we just said, with the following brisa. It says, Choshvim cheshbonot she'enam tzrichim. You are allowed to make any type of cheshbon that is irrelevant, but ein mechashvim cheshbonot that are still relevant. So what do we mean? Ketzad omer adam l'chaviro, kach v'kach po'alim hotzeiti al sadazu. Oh gosh, I needed to hire like 133 people to work on this field in order to get it done on time, but it's already done. Or kach v'kach dinarim hotzeiti al dirazu. Oh man, that remodeling of the house cost me $60,000. But you cannot say, kach v'kach hotzeiti v'kach v'kach atida ani lahotzi. You can't say that I spent this, I'm going to have to invest another. So that means if you're going to have to invest, then it's something that is still no gea. But then it's saying that something that was already spent, if it's not in context of things that you're going to need to spend, is in that case, it would be mutter. But we said before that if it already happened, it was usser. Said the Gemara, why did you wait to ask for somewhere else, right? I mean, it was contradictory internally. You need to wait for someone else. Well, the first brisa contradicted itself, okay? First it says, you can't think about things that have already passed. And then it says, but you can think about things that make no difference. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, if you're saying mabekach, it seems to certainly be talking about what's the difference or what was. You're not going to be able to change the past. So then it's contradicting itself. So obviously, what we need to understand within the brisa itself would be to make a distinction between a case of Adi'ika Agra de Agira Gabe. It's different where something is totally finished. So in other words, if you're saying where I still would owe money and I haven't yet paid the people, All right, so let me disconnect this. I'll try muting it. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so the difference would be, do I still have something to do? In other words, if I made the cheshbon, but I haven't yet paid the money. So I haven't yet paid the money, so then it does have connection to a mitzvah chevtzecha, and because it's reminding me of what I'm going to have to pay. The other case was talking about where this was the amount of money, and it's already been deposited in the worker's account. That's different. Okay, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was the question of waiting at the tchum. So that's makshichin. It's called makshichin al hatchum. Ein makshichin, so it says you can't be makshich even for something like hiring someone right after Shabbos, which you can't do on Shabbos, or to bring things on Shabbos. Now, this we're talking about in terms of mimtzo chefzecha, right? So turn around on it. Maaseh b'chassid echad. There was once a maisa with a certain chassid, usually that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, shenifritza lo peretz betoch sadeu. He was walking along and he noted that there was a hole that had been broken through in his sada. Maybe some raccoon had gotten in or something. And he was thinking to himself for a moment, because he forgot that it was Shabbos, and nimlach alea legodra. So he decided in his mind that he's going to have to fix the fence. Now, we said before that just thinking about something is not usur, but nonetheless, the Yorei Shamayim does not even think about things on Shabbos that would have been usur to do on Shabbos. And that was the Inyan of the Yor. And then because of that, he realized, oh my God, what was I thinking on Shabbos that I was going to fix a fence? Because of that, he refused to ever deal with it. And he left it open. And a nes happened in that schus. And a particular tzlaf grew up. A tzlaf is can become a very useful tree, because remember, it's got the three, it's got the caper berries, and it's got the, you know, the fruit, and it has the blossom. So because of that, he was able to make a parnasa for himself and his kids. Everybody in the family had a parnasa, parnasa's anche beso, from that slough. And you know, of course, you'll remember we spoke about this, that according to Rabbi Akiva, that slavchad was the one who had been over on Shabbos, that he was over on, that he was being called these Eitzim on Shabbos. That is this story, that became the neshama of Rav Yehuda ben Bava, who was Slav Chad. There was one Slav tree that provided him for all of his parnas. In fact, in the Medrash, it's called Slav Chad. One particular caper bush grow up, and that was enough. So his tikkun was in this story. Okay, fine, very beautiful. Om Rav Yehuda Mishmur. Mutar l'adam lomar l'chaveiro. You know, I'm going to be going tomorrow to a particular place, and I want to know if you want to come. Now, this is talking about even where that particular place is outside of the tchum. So what would be the point? How could you say such a thing? If it's outside the tchum, you can't do it on the Shabbos. Aha, I'll tell you why. Because, look, theoretically speaking, if you want to get there, and there were even bourgeoning are these like little shacks that the shomer hangs out in. So, I mean, even bourgeoning would be enough, as long as it's less than 70 and two-thirds amot, which we're going to see, we're going to learn all about in the Erevin, between one house and the adjacent house, even if it's not mamish a house, even a hut, then the tchum continues going all along until the end of those houses, which means that ultimately what people think is the tchum could go for miles and miles and miles outside of town, and they don't realize it. So if this other city was theoretically within the Tchum, even though it isn't currently in the Tchum, but you could have set it up that it would be in the Tchum. There's nothing innately wrong with your going to that town. It's just coincidental that there are no bourgeoning that allow you to go to that town. That you're allowed to do. Because as long as it's a theoretical possibility, there would be no innate issue of the Isra of Mitzvah of Tzicha in Shabbos. Because, I mean, who's to say there's anything anti-Shabbos about my saying I'm going to be going to that town? Now, the problem is, if you hold that it's generally the case that anything that is theoretically possible to do on Shabbos is not considered to be a violation of the Daber Davar, because what did I say? I said, I'm going to town. Did anybody say that that town is Usser? So you'll say, well, I mean, I just checked Google my satellite maps. There's nothing there. That's not the point, but there's nothing. If I'm telling you I'm going to a town, how am I talking about Chol Shabbos, for God's sake? So, okay, so then that means it's a general rule that there would be no problem of Daber Davar, of anything that is not ipso facto Chol Shabbos, right? So then how do you explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Ein makshichin ala tchum liskor pa'alim ula havi peirot. You can't bring peirot. Now, bringing peirot seems to be saying that if I've got like a stack of apples in my orchard, and, you know, I see, oh, wow, those apples look good. I can't take a bag of apples out of the fridge there and bring them home unless I just happen to notice it afterwards. But to go there for that purpose, I'm not allowed to. Now, is there anything wrong with bringing apples? I mean, isn't it theoretically possible to bring apples? I mean, I understand the score, Paulim. There's no way for me to go ahead and clearly go and hire Paulim on Shabbos. Fine. That I understand. The Shabbos L'motzi Agar, there's no way for me to hire somebody on Shabbos. But when you say to bring apples from the fridge, I mean, let's assume that there would be mechitzot the whole way, right? So suppose we would have, like, for that matter, we can even have people standing the whole way from the tchum to my house and to my field. So I'd be able to walk the whole way, theoretically. So if theoretically it's possible, what's wrong with being makshich on the tchum in order to bring apples from the fridge? So lahavi perot? Why not? Im yesh ha-mechitzot mevi. No, you're right. You're right. We'd have to understand that Mishnah's talking about not apples in the fridge, apples on the tree. There's no way for you to get the apples off of the tree on Shabbos without Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, it means you cannot be makshich in order to pick apples. But Tani Rav Oshai, it says in the Brayta, not like that. It says, Ein makshichin ala tchum lahavi teven v'kash. Now, you can't bring either teven or kash. Now, the teven part, I understand kash. Now, kash is meshkach v'lobim v'chuber. The kash is basically straw. That is, certainly you could say it's talking about the straw that's connected, the same way you talked about the apples that are still on the tree. But teven, by definition, is the part of the grain that's cut off around the top, where the tops of the shibolim are, it's those little hair-like things and so on. That only comes after picking and processing, right? So where would there be a case? It would be usher to bring kash, only because of the fact that it would be hotzah on Shabbos, right? Okay, but theoretically, I mean, there's nothing innately hotzah-oriented. I mean, I could always have a mechitz of people standing there, and then there wouldn't have been a problem. Now, there it's talking about straw that has been soaking, and it stinks. So over there, it's muktzah, not because of the picking. So we could be talking about tivna saria, which we've often found and discussed the issue of tivna saria. Okay, another problem, all right? Look, I mean, based on what Shmuel is saying, that the theory is only what determines it, not the actuality. Okay, so let me ask you this. It says that you're allowed to be makshich on the tchum in order to deal with issues that affect a kala or that affect the burial of a maize. If somebody died on Shabbos, I need to get close to the tchum in order to be able to get the things necessary to achieve the kfura. That I would be allowed to do, but not for anything else. Right? So these are a special idea that we're being matir specifically for these mitzvahs that I'm allowed to do even by being makshich because it's chefze shamayim. And the whole problem was mimtso chefzecha. I understand that. But what I'm asking you is bring me the case that is being juxtaposed, which is the same issue but is not for the kallah and is not for the maize, okay? What are we talking about that would be prohibited, that would be the equivalent of what I would be doing for a kala for a maize, okay? Now, the one I can understand, to prepare for a kala might involve an actual thing that there's no way I could do on Shabbos. For instance, one of the things that we do for a kala is we make the chuppah. And we make the chuppah by picking hadassim and make these beautiful, a myrtle chuppah. Okay, so that I understand. I can't wait at the tchum to do that for anybody else, but a kala where it's a mitzvah. Why? Because picking hadassim on Shabbos, obviously, there'd be no way that that's not ipso facto chilul Shabbos, and because of that, I can't do it. But what exactly is it referring to when it says to prepare for burial? So what would that case be? I mean, I'm assuming the normal case would be that you need to go ahead and purchase takrichin for the mace, or you need to purchase a coffin for the mace, right? So you can only do that for a mace. Why do we say we can't do it for anybody else? Why not? I mean, theoretically, there's nothing innately problematic about bringing a coffin on Shabbos, is there? I mean, I'm basically bringing a box, and if there was a mechitza there, fine, there's no mechitza, but Shmuel says that the point isn't that what there is and what there isn't. The point is what there could be. So there could be a mechitza. I could get people to stand there and make a mechitza for heaven's sake. So that seems to be saying that Shmuel is wrong. The only reason I'm allowed to be machshich on the tchum for bringing a coffin or bringing tachrichin is because of the fact that it's for a tzorach mitzvah. If it wouldn't be a tzorach mitzvah, it would have been aser. Why? Lema she'im yesh hamechitzot mevi. Why don't we apply Shmuel's din? No, look, I can say it's talking about that the mate mashkachet ala migza leglima. It's talking about over here that we don't have a beged. It's that we need to cut it. So to cut it, you're not allowed to do in any way. That's certainly ipso facto chilul Shabbos. This has nothing to do with Shmuel. Okay, what about the next? Now, it says, mechashrim, you're allowed to stay on the tchum in order to be shomer your besoda after Shabbos. You want to make sure nobody steals anything. And that you're allowed to do. And it says, and then you can bring back things that were in the field. Now, bringing back things that are in the field is mashma. I mean, we said before, we're talking about apples that are connected to the tree. So then bringing back apples would mean you're allowed to pick apples, right? But that leads to another question. How are you picking apples before you said Havdalah? Because, I mean, we're certainly not assuming that you have, like, wine out there to be able to say Havdalah with. You're standing by the tchum. You walk out of the tchum after Shabbos. You check the field. And now you decide to pick some apples and bring the apples home. How could you pick apples? So when it says, Machshichin, Afag Avdolo Avdil, is it mutter to do malacha before Havdalah? Didn't Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus quote Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov as saying, Asur lo adam she'asecha fatzav kodem she'avdil? You are not allowed to be doing things or eating things, before, which is your own business, before you make Havdalah. Now, I'm sure you're going to tell me, well, what's the problem? I mean, the guy Davin Meirev out there while he was waiting. So he was Mavdil in Shmone Esrei, right? So V'chitem, you'll try to tell me that he was Mavdil already in Tefillah. But didn't Rav Yehuda on Mashmuel say I'm Avdil B'Tefillah still needs to be Avdil Alakos, Tzorech She'Avdil Alakos, and I'm assuming that that means that you are not considered to have completed your Avdolah until you did both, so that it wouldn't help you to be Mavdil unless you said Avdil Alakos. Well, how did you say Avdil Alakos out there by the Tchum? So isn't it strange? V'chi Tema, maybe you'll say that you were Mavdil Alakos. I mean, come on, we're talking about a case where it doesn't make sense. One of the implications of the case is that it's trying to tell me a norm, right? Isn't that all the ideas that we've been dealing with in these prokim is that they're not theories, that in the event that you happen to have a bottle of wine out there and so on, it's telling you that this is the way to act on Shabbos. So where did a guy get a kos in the soda? Tirgum Rabbi Nasi Bar Ami Kameh Rava. I mean, maybe what we're talking about is that it's wine pressing time, you know? So it's Bein Hagitot Shanu. And the Ein Achinami, it's talking about a part of the year where we can assume that the guy made Havdalah so that it wasn't addressing Havdalah because there would be plenty of wine available. Omele Rabbah, or Ravashi, look, you know, I don't know. It seems to me you guys are making a mountain out of a molehill here. I mean, I could tell you what we do in Eretz Yisrael. We don't make Havdalah. We just say, I'm Avdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. If we say, I'm Avdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, so then at that point, even if we haven't yet gotten around to making Havdalah, or if we were Avdil B'Tefillah, so we still do things. And at that point, it's enough Avdin and Tzarchin. Then we do what we need to do, which means you're allowed to do Malacha, even after you just say the words, I'm Avdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, without the full Havdalah ala Kos. That's all that it means, that he's Tzarech L'Havdil. Before Havdalah doesn't mean before you make Havdalah on the Kos. So there's no problem in the Mishnah. The guy said, Baruch Ham Avdo Ben Kedosh L'chol, you know, and then he went ahead and he picked the apples. Omer Avashi Gavinu Be'Rif Kahana, when I used to be by Rav Kahana, he used to say, Hamavdil ben Gadosh l'chol, and then he would go in and he would chop some wood if it was cold. He would, or if he wanted to warm up some coffee for after Avdolah. So he would chop wood, put it in the oven. Meanwhile, he would start warming up the coffee, and then he would make Avdolah. So apparently, there's not a problem. Okay, so we do this indeed. Now, Klau Amar Abashol. Then we had this weird part at the end of the Mishnah. So, whatever I'm mutter to say, I'm allowed to be makshir halatchum. So, what exactly is he talking about over here, Abashol? I mean, he's talking about part of the Mishnah. Okay, which part of the Mishnah is he going back to? Is he talking about the Reisha that says, Ein makshikin al hatchum liskor poalim or lahavi perot? And comes along Abashol, and he's saying something about that, right? About what you can't do, right? So he's saying, Ein makshikin. So then why does he talk about what is doable? Why would he say, Kol shani zakai ba mirato rashai ani b'chashikato? I mean, if you're trying to make a klal out of something you're not allowed to do, then it should be said in the negative, right? You could say, he could have, should have said, kol she'eini zakai b'amirato, anything that I am not allowed to talk about, I'm not allowed to do by waiting close to the tchum. That's what he should have said, because, I mean, the negative is an expression of a negative. He's saying the positive, he can't be talking about the reisha. So he's got to be talking about the seifa. Okay, so the seifa says what you are allowed to do. So what does it say? That the Tanakhama says, Makshichu lishmor, he is allowed to go out to the tchum in order to keep his eyes on the sun and make sure nobody breaks in. And then once he's there, he's allowed to bring back some apples that he found and he picked. And that's what Abashol is coming to say. Well, we can make a general rule about that. No, because that doesn't make sense either. Because then what he should have said is the exact opposite. What is the given, okay, that Abashol is referring to? When you make a klal, the given, he's pretending that the given is that anything I'm allowed to talk about by Mirato, right? But it doesn't say about Amirato. The given is the opposite. The given is what you're allowed to be makshich. So if he wants to turn the halacha in the Mishnah into a general rule, he should have said, gentlemen, you know what? Not only are you allowed to be makshich, but anything that we find in a Mishnah, like here, that you are allowed to be makshir for, you would actually be allowed to say about it, and you could tell someone, the same way you're allowed to stay out on the tchum, you could tell someone to please make sure that you keep an eye on my sudah. That's what he should have said. Because then you're making something a given, a basis for a rule that you're extending to something which is not given. But what Abishol is quoted as saying here in the Mishnah is just absurd. If he's referring to the case of the Mishnah, that's the given case. So what are you now, how are you extending it? So we didn't base what's in the Mishnah on the fact that you're allowed to talk about it, did we? So what is he saying? Says the Gemara, no, you're right. He is definitely going on the Seifa, which is the part that is mutter. But what it was that Abishol was talking about was one particular issue, which the Tanakhama didn't even mention. And that's something that we heard from Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, that Mutter la'adam lomar l'chaveiro, shmor li peirot shebitchumcha, v'ani yeshmor l'cha peirot shebitchumi. So a guy is allowed to say, let's say two people, am I allowed to watch things on Shabbos? Yes, I am. So suppose we live near each other, but I have a sada on the other side, in which is part of his tchum, and he has a sada on my side, which is part of my tchum. So that would mean you would be allowed to say, I'll take care of watching over your field, you take care of watching over my field, and that would be not a problem, because you're allowed to watch your own field, so therefore why wouldn't you be allowed to do that? Which, by the way, is very interesting, because then you're asking somebody to do something that is mutter for him, but usher for me. So what would be a case that this would be nageya? Well, suppose somebody opens bottles on Shabbos, you know? You don't open the bottles. Can you tell the person to open the bottle for you? Or what about if somebody was makabel Shabbos early? And you were, and he wants to get something done, and another guy was not makabel Shabbos early, so can he tell him, would you mind turning on the oven for me? So because I already started Shabbos. So Tosef says, well, you see from here that that would be mutter, because it's as long as it's mutter for the other guy, I can tell the other guy to do it for me. Okay, the truth is it's a big machlokas Rishonim as to whether that's true. But in any event, it's interesting, like what you see, what you can make out from a sugya, right? That's not immediately apparent. So basically, he was referring to that, right? He was referring to that mimer of Shmuel, that same idea. Now, the Tanakhama didn't talk about it. But what Abishol turned to the Tanakhama and said, look, I mean, would you argue on that? Milo Modita, wouldn't you agree that that's perfectly okay, right? The Mutter Adam lo mar lecha veirosh mar li peirosh betchumcha. So then what you should have done is, instead of bringing like this very specific halacha, you're allowed to be machshich on the tchum in order to be shomer your peros, you should have said a much broader general klal. And that's what I'm saying. Klal amar abash. I'm telling you, this is the way you should have said it. You should have said anything that it's obvious that I would be allowed to tell somebody else to do for me. So if the guy lived out there in the tchum, I can shout to him and I can tell him, listen, do me a favor, keep your eye on my field. I'll keep my eye on your field, right? So that's what you should have said. And that way I would have learned out both in him. If you would have said it that way, you would have been giving me a general klal that I could have applied both to Amira and to the din of Shmira, because certainly you are agreeing to that, right? Fine. Okay, so this is the question we're going to see in the next Mishnah actually revolves around that problem. And then what would be he be coming to talk about? Exactly what the machlokas ends up being. Klal atuyimai, latuyi hadatana rabbanan. So we find in the Braisa, Ein machshich in ala tchum lahavi behema. You can't stand outside to get an animal that has strayed outside. You're not allowed to go there to get the animal back right away. Why? Tosu says it must be talking about that the animal couldn't walk, because otherwise, I mean, what would be the problem? But to say that you'd be able to pick up the animal and you'd be able to take care of him, if he, in that case, if he can't walk, he would be mukta. Hayta omedet chutz l'tchum. If the animal was standing outside of tchum, you could be korela v'hiva. You can call the animal and then it could come to him. So if you're calling me, you're telling me that it would be dover to talk to an animal, it would still be mutter, because it would be allowed on Shabbos Gufa. To which, so because of that, I'm allowed to talk about doing the Chefetz Mitzvah we spoke about, to get somebody married, to take care of the, I'm going to build up the chuppah for the kala after Shabbos, and aliske meis lavilo aron tvatachrichin, and I could say to somebody, run right after Shabbos and get these things right after Shabbos. I can say, if you can't find a aron for the meis in such a place, go to another place. If you didn't find it for $100, then pay $200 if you have to. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, bevachol yaskirlo tzchum mekach, only if you don't mention a particular amount. This raises the issue of the Misha Berachs, which everybody misunderstands. When a guy says, I will give a matana, that it's because he's a cheapo and he doesn't want anybody to know he's only talking about 18 cents instead of $180. That's not the point. The point is not to be maskir a particular schum. Okay, we'll go over that because that's the next Mishnah, so we'll use that to introduce the next Mishnah. We'll get this last part straight, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. I didn't want to stop before the Mishnah.